talk about Take Your Time. At last, a major hit has rolled at the Waikato DHB, the home of the most dysfunctional health operation in the country. Bob Simcock, the chair, former National MP, of course, fell on his sword yesterday. The scandal of Nigel Murray's hire now has the SFO involved, as well as several other investigations. As is typical of this lot, none ever front to account for themselves, but the former Waikato DHB CEO, Craig Climo, is with us. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Have you got a sense of how this all went so horrifically wrong?
I agree with the comments you just read out from a correspondent. That is that the public's experience of the organisation will have been the same through all of this. And I imagine the public see it for what it is, which is around two people. One, wrongdoing, clearly wrongdoing by the former chief executive, and significant questions of judgment and supervision about the chairman.
Yeah. When you say the chairman, is it only the chairman or surely the rest of the board? Because if it's only the chairman, what do the rest of the board do?
Well, I have a lot of sympathy for the rest of the board, because in matters around chief executive recruitment and the supervision of the CE, the board's heavily reliant on the chair. The primary relationship is with the chair in terms of the chief executive's relationship with the board that goes through the chair. And whilst the board is exposed to the CE in various forums, such as board meetings, committee meetings, that type of thing, the day-to-day activity is most definitely with the chairman.
When they say, for example, as the GPs did, write a letter of no confidence in the running of the operation, does that not get talked about around a board table with a lot of people involved asking a few questions of the chairman saying what the hell's going on?
Yes, I imagine it would.
Right. So yes, we get in some way, shape or form, the board needs to be held accountable, do they? Otherwise, there's no point in having a board. You may as well just have a chairman.
I imagine there would have been a bit of agitation going on, Mike, but as you know, it can take quite some time for these things to come to a head.
See, the other interesting thing that you say is, and you, I'm sure you're quite right, that if you break your leg in the Waikato and go and get some treatment at a hospital, no one will ever know the difference, and that's the way it should be, which then leads to the question, what is it the board's next, what do they do? What's the point of having an individualised board in an individualised region that seemingly does nothing good?
I wouldn't want to infer that there's no consequence of all of this, because the biggest issue for me is the distraction. This will have been a major distraction for everybody involved, from the board through management and staff, and also all the other organisations with whom the DHB partners, I guess, for want of a better term. Mm. So, you know, they've probably missed an opportunity to get on and improve processes. Obviously, there has been damage to relationships both within and without the organisation as well. But again, I come back to the statement I made before. For the thousands of staff, with it literally hundreds of thousands of contacts with the public each year, they will have gone on. You know, the organisation is a professional service organisation, yeah, and they'd be doing what they do every day. And
that's true.
And doing it well. But turning to your question around district health boards, of course, a board's role is to set strategy and monitor its performance. The strategy setting in a district health board context isn't what it would be for most organisations, in that the strategy is largely set for Wellington.
Exactly.
So I do have sympathy for your view there. So I think a district health board spends more of its time monitoring than a normal board would, and
That's a lot of people to monitor, though, isn't it, fundamentally? Craig, listen, I appreciate your time very much. Craig Climo. So we had a member of the board on recently, and she was saying exactly the same thing. She was saying we couldn't work out how come we've got 20 boards. As you heard Craig just say, former CEO, he's got some sympathy for the view generally. We've now got Peter Dunn writing in his memo last week, that the system doesn't work. So slowly but surely, how many people do you... If we went to every board member in this country and every CEO and every former CEO of a DHB in this country and said, this whole model, what do you reckon? How many, in terms of numbers and a percentage, do you reckon we would find that go, you know what, you probably got a point?